The contempt reflex. Contempt is a complex sentiment produced by a blend of anger, disgust, and frequently superiority. It's a feeling of scorn towards someone we hold in low esteem and wish to reject or punish. We display contempt through facial expressions and vocalizations, such as sneering, eye-rolling, snorting, sighing, and tongue-clicking. Next time you catch yourself rolling your eyes at someone, ask yourself what you're feeling. If that someone is your significant other, make an appointment with Dr. Gottman. Contempt is often leveled by a higher status individual looking down upon a lower status other, as suggested by the common term beneath contempt. In the act of displaying contempt, we assert our superiority and social dominance over the contemptuous other. In a split second, the brain can appraise another as morally or intellectually inferior and therefore unworthy of one's attention. Often, we treat the entire person's character as contemptuous, rather than homing in on a specific offensive behavior or trait. If I hold someone in contempt, there's little reason to engage them in dialogue. A casual sneer or snide comment will generally suffice to dismiss the contemptuous other. Trump dispatched his 2016 rivals with crude displays of contempt. Lion Ted, Little Marco, and Low Energy Jeb. He's gearing up for 2020 with Sleepy Joe and Crazy Bernie. A TV or radio personality looking to fill airtime and delight their partisan audience might go beyond a snarky put-down and indulge in a lengthier reverie on the idiocy, lunacy, and moral reprehensibility of the object of their contempt. The emotional goal of contempt is to exclude or punish the inferior other. By showing contempt, I inflict shame on the transgressor and then remove them from consideration. I might not even trouble myself with explaining the basis for my views. It's so obvious that I'm superior, and anyone who doesn't recognize this is hopelessly clueless. In other words, I write the person off as irredeemable, or, as Hillary Clinton classified half of Trump supporters, deplorables. Clinton supporters saw the blowback against her deplorables gaffe as unfair. Perhaps. It's true that in the next and underreported part of her speech, she spoke empathetically about the other half of Trump's base, people who felt that the government and economy had let them down and that no one cared about them. But in 2018, she was still dissing the heartland and blaming its washed-up residents for her defeat, saying, "If you look at the map of the United States, there's all that red in the middle where Trump won. I win the coasts. But what the map doesn't show you is that I won the places that represent two-thirds of America's gross domestic product. So I won the places that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward." If, as Clinton claims, her base of coastal elites is optimistic, diverse, dynamic, and moving forward, the implication is that red state voters represent pessimism, white ethnocentrism, lethargy, and backwardness. In politics, perception is reality. If a voting bloc perceives Hillary as disdainful toward them, then she is. And because she tossed out the unsubstantiated charge that half of Trump voters belong in the basket of deplorables, that left all Trump supporters wondering if she was referring to them. With a 50-50 chance that they were being placed in the basket of deplorables, they were incensed. Just like they were when Obama made the following comment on the 2008 campaign trail. "They get bitter, they cling to guns or religion, or have antipathy to people who aren't like them, or use anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations." 8 years later, Iowan Dennis Schmink cited Obama's comment as part of his rationale for voting for Trump. His comment, "The whole thing, it's been worn out to death, that clinging to God and guns, and afraid of people who don't look like them, blah, blah, blah. Just quit talking down to me."